We are here at Lake Fairly on a pretty blustery September day, and this is a fascinating success story for the common loons.
Yeah. We love this bird. A couple years ago, they found a loon nesting here. It's been through some trials and tribulations, but the whole town has kind of gotten behind it with the help of Eric Hansen, Vermont Center for Eco Studies loon biologist. We're here today to meet Eric.
Yep, he is here to do a chick check. We're going to follow him out and talk all things loon, and in particular, the success story about Lake Fairly.
Yeah, we're going to jump into some canoes and talk about the trials and tribulations of loon life on a pond that's, well, it's kind of heavily used here. There's a lot of boats, a lot of fishermen, a lot of traffic, but with some help from folks that live around here and Eric's work and volunteers, it's a success story.
It is. I'm Sarah Zahendra.
And I'm Kent McFarland.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio. So let's go talk to Eric and help him get some canoes in the water, because I'm kind of excited to see this loon chick.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Great
to
be here.
Good to see you again.
Let's go quickly check out last year's nest site, which was pretty unusual. Yeah, we'll just kind of go right in here and we can drift into shore.
Is that the mud flat it was on?
Right here. So we're at last year's nest site, first time nest ever on this lake recorded in history. So it was just a really neat thing to see a pair form and then try to nest. And they actually nested on this mud flat, which is really unusual. Usually they're like islands and marshes. But this was created in Irene, 2011.
It's a sandbar, basically.
Yeah, all it looks like is just maybe not even a foot up out of the water.
A few inches.
Yeah.
But loons have to nest 1 or 2 feet away from the water because they can't walk on land.
They can't walk at all.
Nope. When a chick hatches out, it's in the water within a few hours, and the next time it touches land is probably when it breeds 6-7 years later.
No kidding.
Wow.
They're truly a water bird or an air bird. If there's no island or marsh, they tend to look for little spits of land that stick out, and this was a perfect spit. The neat thing about it is we actually put up a camera, and it was really interesting to watch how people reacted to the nest warning signs that we put out. That's one of their most vulnerable times is when they're nesting.
So you put floating warning signs out, like, what, 100 feet out or something, 50 feet out?
50 to 100 feet.
Please don't go.
This was the first time that they had ever nested on this lake, so it was completely new to people to see
these
nest warning signs.
And I want to say every person respected those signs. It was really impressive how people, you know, again, respected the loon spot or the loon's nesting and respected the chicks. And so they had their first chick last year.
If we go back 30 years ago, I mean, there weren't many loons in Vermont, were there?
7 nesting pairs in the whole state back in 1983.
And now we're at what?
98.
And at that point, people realized, wow, you know what? Loons are in trouble in this state. We need to do something about it. And so then what happened?
Well, the Vermont Institute of Natural Science and Fish and Wildlife Department got together, started working on some projects of understanding where the loons were, what were the issues, and there were a lot of things. It wasn't just one thing that caused their decline. Probably shoreline development, more boats on our lakes, lead fishing gear especially, but also monofilament, the flooding of lakes with reservoirs. I mean, they all sort of nicked at the ability for these birds to be successful. And so we started working with all the lake communities and the hydro companies.
So in the 1990s, you might not even have thought you would have loons on Lake Fairly because it's a pretty active lake. It doesn't have islands per se or anything like that.
Yeah, loons were really thought of as a wilderness species. That's where they were seen in the 60s and 70s. They weren't really on the busy lakes except sort of passing through. But we found that they can habituate really well to people as long as they have that space for nesting and as long as they have a healthy lake with good fish population. You know, in May and June, lakes tend to be quieter, so it's when the people show up that are they nesting 10 feet from someone's dock, and what do we do about it? So that actually spent a lot of my time working with landowners, figuring out how do they use their land when a loon is nesting nearby? Is this going to work? Do we need to encourage nesting or discourage nesting? So Lake Fairly is lucky because we have this bay up here with very few houses on it. We did find a 200-foot section to put a raft.
So what we're looking at right now is one of the famous loon rafts that people put out for loons to nest on. And if you haven't seen one of these before, you'll probably be kind of surprised at what it looks like because it's not a huge structure by any means. It's got some vegetation on the top of it. It's kind of mounded up, and there's a little depression in the middle of it, but it's surrounded by a lot of good vegetation so that the loons can have some privacy. And, you know, I was thinking, right, when you think of a loon raft, you think of something much bigger than this, but it's actually pretty small. So, Eric, tell us why you put these things out.
Loons are only nesting a few inches off the water line, so on those water bodies that go up and down, those nests would easily flood. So we started using rafts there. The other place we use rafts is to sort of mitigate and compensate for human activity, and that's the case here on Lake Fairley. But in this case, it worked. About 2 or 3 weeks later, the volunteers saw the loon climb up on the raft. It took about a week before they probably actually laid the egg and it started incubating. It takes about a month for incubation. Mom and Dad taking turns sitting on the egg.
And so Mom and Dad both sit on the eggs, and they both feed the chick as well after it's hatched.
Does a chick stay on this nest, or is it immediately like going to plop in the water after it hatches out of the egg?
If there's just one egg, it'll just plop in the water and go swim off with Mom and Dad. They leave the nest site. They're done with it for the year.
So it's going to practice flying, and then when it starts to get colder and the lake starts to ice over, that's the point at which these loons will take off and head south.
Well, actually, the adults leave early in October, usually. The first one will leave early October, the second one later in October. And then the chick usually leaves by itself a few days or weeks or even a month later, and they figure out how to get to the ocean by themselves, and they figure out how to get back here by themselves.
We're about to paddle out to these guys right now, so is there some etiquette about going out and looking at these loons?
I always say about a football field length. You know, okay. Watch from a distance, yep. Let them approach you.
Okay.
Sometimes they're curious. They'll come right in on you.
You know, I actually have a question about... Oh, there's one there. Oh, there's two.
Are they coming by?
They're checking us out.
This is their spot, the chicken one adult right now.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, and we can see them diving. So how far do they dive? How long can they stay underwater? And what is it they're going for?
Perch is what some of the studies in Canada have shown. But they'll take any kind of fish, but the schooling fish, the small fish, the minnows, the 2 to 4 inches. And most of the time they're swallowing those right underwater. You never even see it.
I can't believe they're coming right up to us. That's so cool.
Oh, there's a third one.
Oh, yeah, they're all the whole family.
They can spend a lot of time underwater, probably up to 2 minutes, but usually those dives are shorter, usually in the top 20 feet.
And they're so striking. You know, they've got those red eyes and the black and white.
They're a little smaller than a Canada goose. 10 to 15 pounds for a male.
Oh, wow.
8 to 12 pounds for a female.
And that's why it takes a pretty large body of water for them to take off, right?
In fact, that's our number one rescue, is loons have made mistakes and landed on ponds where they can't fly off. So this story on Lake Fairley is sort of the pinnacle of what this conservation project is about, just combining every aspect of management and monitoring and volunteers.
Well, I thought it was great. It enabled us to come out here and see these beautiful loons and experiencing them ourselves, and I really appreciate everyone's hard work.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I can't wait for the next breeding season.
You're welcome.
I'm Sarah Zahendra.
And I'm Kent McFarland.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.